Hello and welcome to the Bingeables podcast, a podcast for geeky TV junkies where we watch TV shows you just have to binge on. We're your hosts, Shin Lin
and Carl from accounting.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm Isaac.
And I'm Ryan. I would love that joke. I love that joke.
Carl from accounting. I'm Thank Ryan you. From down the street.
Oh, well, everyone, we have a special guest with us today. This is Ryan Hunter from Radical Retro Rewind podcast and Brunch with the Hallowells. Welcome to the Bingeables podcast, Ryan.
Thank you so much. Thank you both for having me. I love the concept of your show, and it's so nice to be able to talk something
besides Charmed sometimes.
No, really?
If you have to pull my arm, you know, I'm willing to talk about something else.
Before we dive into announcements and like just the meat of the episode, let's have our listeners learn a little bit more about you.
Thank you so much again for having me. Kind of relatively new to the podcasting thing. I'm currently in my I surpassed the first year in September, so I'm in the grind right now, all the way to the second. Really love this media and being able to connect to people such as yourselves, and I can't say podcast enough how I love this media and the way you could reach other people all over the world.
What are some of your favorite hobbies?
Oh my goodness. So besides watching Charmed continuously, one of my hobbies.
Yep.
We definitely relate with that. Honestly, I love digitally editing. With my podcast, I have an Instagram that goes along with that, and I just love coming up with posts for that. I love the digital side of that. I work with a lot of retro topics, so researching a history of an older show, a movie, perhaps collectibles. So I would say I read a lot about the histories of series, movies, you know, things like that. So one of my hobbies is that.
What do you like to collect? Like action figures, Funko Pops?
Oh my God. I'm trying not to get into the Funko too much because I know once it happens, you just got to buy every character that you want. So
I can attest to the addiction of Funko Pop collecting. I'm not a huge addict about it. I think my parents have taught me really well. It's just ingrained in my mind. Like, try not to spend too much on stuff. Yes. That kind of just sits on a shelf.
True.
But over the years, I've definitely spent like over 100 on Funko Pops, and they're just so cute to collect, and there's too many of them. They keep making new Harry Potter ones, and I'm like, can't y'all make Charmed Funko Pops?
Oh,
like,
you're speaking my language.
I already have a Harry Potter Funko Pop. I have a Hermione Funko Pop. And, like, I just want something else, like other fandoms that haven't been touched.
And it's so crazy, right? Because I feel like most fandoms besides Charmed really have a Funko Pop.
Yeah, and they're expanding to music now. So I think the next big one that's going to drop in the music from the music industry is DJ Khaled.
I just saw that Mariah Carey has one too now. So, yeah, it's... So one day we'll all have a Funko Pop of our own too, maybe.
Oh, well, so I learned that there's a Funko Pop, official Funko Pop store in, I think, Washington State or something. Or maybe in California. One of those where, like, you can walk into the store and they'll, like, make a Funko Pop of yourself or something. Like, they can customize it.
That is amazing. And that's where I'm bringing my Charmed photos. And I'm like, can you give me Prue, Piper, and Phoebe? Because you're not making them any other way. That's what I look like.
That'd be hilarious. Would you like to take this moment to plug your podcasts?
Thank you so much. So, as stated earlier, it is the Radical Retro Rewind podcast, nostalgia. I tried to do a little bit of everything. I haven't done as much 70s, but 70s, 80s, 90s, and I say beyond. Anything past, I say behind, excuse me, like, you know, the current years. I try to, you know, stay away from maybe 20, 21, 2019, but any retro quote-unquote topic. And yeah, when I'm not doing that every Friday, I am hanging out on with Brunch with the Hollowells on Sunday, a original Charmed podcast currently in its 7th season.
Home stretch, y'all.
One more season and then it's gone.
Yeah.
With the perfect time to catch up now.
Oh, well, I was listening to your older episodes on Radical Retro Rewind, and I did listen to Practical Magic when you guys mentioned it on Brunch, and recently, I think last week or something, I went back a little more, and because I totally forgot this movie, but I enjoyed it when I watched it, The Parent Trap.
Yes,
that was a cool discussion. I never watched It Takes Two, but I really enjoyed The Parent Trap when I first watched it as a child.
I think if you saw the other one, you would be like, wow, the parallels of this movie with the twins. Very similar, but different.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, of course. Alrighty, well, we will move on to a little bit of housekeeping slash an announcement and just like how this episode's gonna work before we dive in. So our big announcement, and we're kind of dropping the ball on this. So we have decided that this will be our last Bingeables podcast episode.
No kidding! Wait, oh my god. It's because of me, everybody.
It's a big announcement. I've actually thought about it for a while, and I was like kind of planning ahead this fall and winter. I've just gotten a little tired of podcasting, and you know, when you reach a certain point, like the project doesn't feel like it, you don't have the romance of it like you did at the beginning when you first started. Yes. And we started in fall of 2018, so it's been 4 years.
Wow. Yeah. My God. Yes.
Yeah.
In podcasting time, honestly, that is a long time because most people, I feel like, stop in the first year. So, I mean, you've gone beyond.
Yeah.
It took us a while to like get a groove of what we wanted to do, like formatting wise for the podcast. But I think we reached a really good spot. I think we're ending strongly with a wonderful guest.
Oh, thank you. Well, now I'm honored and melancholy at the same time.
Isaac, do you have a few words about our big announcement?
It's bittersweet. Like I've been kind of like feeling that the podcast was more work than fun. But I'm still sort of sad to like see it go, but you know, that's overridden by like, well, if I think about it, Chin Lin does like, I want to say 90% of the work on this podcast, but
95% outlines, editing, setting up
beautiful outlines, I have to say.
Oh, I kid. My husband's a very good co-host.
But even then, like the reason you may have noticed, listeners, that I've been on fewer and fewer podcasts is because like I didn't want to. Watching TV shows was starting to feel like a chore, and I didn't really like that. It was easy for me to, you know, take a step back, but Chin Lin still kept going, and I can, you know, she's getting a little worn, too. Like I said, it's bittersweet. Like, I'm sad to see it go, but it's also sort of a relief that, you know, there will be less work in the future.
Yeah, and like, who knows? Maybe I'll feel differently in a year.
And you could you could always pick back up, really, honestly.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, we'll see how it goes. For now, for the very long foreseeable future, like, this will be the end.
I will say, being on the end that you both are on, I think a lot of people just hear the voices and maybe don't realize the work that actually does go into a podcast. I feel like before getting into it myself, you kind of feel like everything's done on the spot, right? Well, that's not the case.
Right.
The research. Yeah. You're right. And you're watching a TV show and then it almost does become a chore, and that's not fun.
Right. Yeah. It's like, when you first hear podcasts, you're like, oh, I can sit in a room and just talk with people. That's no problem. I can't believe you guys are getting worn out. It's like, well, no, that part's actually not that bad, but it's all the stuff that leads up to it. Like, I like this show, but I don't want to have to watch it right now so that we can get an episode out next week. Like, now, for a format like yours, where you guys are doing like one episode a week, that's not too bad. But we were trying to, you know, let's watch this entire show, right? Yeah. And
there's a reason why I picked mostly comedies this year.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. The world is terrible enough.
Well, mostly because they're shorter shows, because they're only 30-minute episodes.
So you can fit more episodes in your TV watching time.
And, you know, binging, you're right, is the thing. If you don't binge, like, when it comes out, it's already old news for people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of got over that. I kind of got over that. It's like, okay, Loki came out months ago. I don't give a fuck. If I want to cover Loki now, I can cover Loki now.
Yeah, we'll cover it now. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's this was our big announcement, and I know it's kind of, I know it's, it is bittersweet, and it's kind of a bummer because there was no other mentioning of it before this. But, you know, I'm hoping our listeners, the 10, 15 of you who listened to us since the beginning, understand. And I'm sure you do because, you know, you'll know it's been 4 years.
Shout out to Billy. If you're listening, I want you to know, thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you to everyone.
I think you're right. Yeah, I coming from that side too, like, of course I am now on a podcast that's more popular. So, you know, there is that other side, but I agree. I got that same thing, the 10 loyal people that sticked with you, and you always think about those people. But you're right. If the people hear you like week after week, you know, twice a week, twice a month, whatever, the, you know, whatever it is, they grow to know you and your personality and how you are, and they know that you're not doing anything to, like, you don't, you wouldn't want to show your disheartening on the episode. So you put a mask up, right? And you don't mention it. Like, it's, oh God, I just had to binge 10 episodes to watch through this show, but it does add up. Everything does add up.
Yeah. And just for now, we're saying goodbye. I don't know what the future holds. But yeah, that was our big announcement, and which is why we have our format for today. The title of this podcast episode is the one with the shows we haven't talked about before, kind of following the Friends title episode title format.
The one, yes, the one with the, yes.
Yeah, the one with whatever. So our special guest, Ryan, he has picked out a handful of shows that he thinks is bingeable and wants to recommend, and we'll talk about why. He'll talk about why. I have some shows, Isaac has some shows, and we're just going to, obviously it'll be spoiler-free. You know, obviously we're going to talk about premises and concepts, and I would say, like, if it's in the first episode, it's fair game.
Perfect.
Yeah.
If it's in, like, a summary, unless, like, totally fair game.
Unless there's some twist that you don't want to reveal from the first episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Don't reveal the beautiful twist, obviously.
Like, Invincible. I'm looking at you.
Okay. But yeah, that's how this will work out. We'll take turns, and some of our shows may not appeal to geeks, and I know the whole point of our podcast was to, you know, talk about shows that appeal to geeks. But, you know, there's a variety of geeks, and not everyone who listens to the podcast identifies as a geek. So, honestly, it's just going to be, we're going to talk about shows all over the place. So, just
I think
get ready. Get ready. All right. Well, without further ado, I know it was a bit of a long intro.
I think that was important, though. That was an important discussion.
Yeah. Ryan, I'm going to let you take it off.
Thank you.
Or take it away. You don't have to undress.
Y'all know what I meant.
Oh, see? If I would have known, I would have put more layers on. I would have stripped accordingly. By each episode, like each show, I would have took another layer off. So thank you so much. Honestly, when I was asked about this assignment for this week, the first show that came to mind was the little show from 1997 called Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I feel like if anyone out there is a Charmed fan, and you might, if you heard Charmed's name come up a few times this episode already, very similar plot with a strong female lead fighting basically the forces of evil. It's very similar to Charmed. Came out of the year prior to Charmed on the same network, WB. And basically, the summary, which actually sums up the whole seven seasons of this show, is a young woman destined to slay vampires, demons, and creatures deals with life fighting evil with the help of her friends. Really, at the end of the day, this show is really a life show. In the sense that it deals with all the topics of a teenager growing up, then going to college, then finding a job. So we follow the title character from high school and beyond through the seven seasons. Friendship, losses, laughs, it has it all. Comedy, drama, a musical episode, possibly.
I mean, you have to have one.
Right? I mean, it makes you legitimate then, right? You got.
Yeah, I mean, the only, I guess Star Trek The Next Generation and its seven seasons didn't necessarily have a musical episode, but normally shows that run that long, they're going to have a musical episode, maybe more.
They're giving you one, right? You're getting a musical sequence, something.
Yeah.
So, yes, seven seasons, 144 episodes, and it's about 51 minutes. So, give or take about an hour. I feel very bingeable. It's one of those shows that has an overarching arc for the whole season. And then each season, though, has a new challenge. So, really, you could get into it from the first season, the second season, and I feel like you would still pick up with the plot of a young woman fighting evil.
Right.
I'm about to date myself. I was a young kid when I remember like catching snippets of Buffy on TV, and like obviously like those promos, ridiculous promos.
Yes.
Because you know it's the WB back then. Like everything was kind of like blown out of proportion in those promos. But yeah,
1,000%.
I know Buffy is a cult classic. Even though as a fellow Charmed fan, I have not yet watched Buffy.
I feel though there's a camp of people who are strictly Buffy fans and strictly Charmed fans. I happen to blur, but there are people that are hardcore Charmed fans that were like, no, Buffy, no, no. And there's Buffy fans that think Charmed is, you know, like a joke compared
derivative.
To exactly. I mean, that's the argument usually. Well, Buffy came first, and truthfully, Charmed did come to like kind of cash in on that supernatural craze of Buffy at the time on WB, but I think they're sister shows, I'll say. They can coexist.
I mean, yeah, that's the adult way to think about it, but that's not
yeah,
how
you would
this
hope,
works.
Right? You would hope.
All right. So we're taking turns. So I will start with one of mine. So one of my shows that I recommend to, I will say I can recommend this to geeks, but I think it's got a place for most people who are into post-apocalyptic sci-fi shows. Or just the genre in general. If you don't normally watch sci-fi shows, but you still enjoy the genre, you may like this show. It's called Snowpiercer. And you're probably thinking, wait, that was a movie by the famous Korean director Bong Joon-ho? And you are correct. It was a movie. But, you know, because we live in this era of adaptations, let me give a little background on Snowpiercer first. Snowpiercer, the movie, which came out in 2013? Yeah, 2013. Snowpiercer, the movie by Bong Joon-ho came out in 2013. It is an adaptation of the graphic novel from 1982 from French creators Jacques Loeb and Jean-Marc Roche. And but I mean, obviously the premise is the same. It's about a post-apocalyptic sci-fi future where you know, scientists have tried really hard to combat climate change. They tried so hard that they kind of inverted it a little bit. So instead of feeling intense heat all the time, we now have ice, an ice world. And because you can't really live in an ice world, there's a train created by some engineers called Snowpiercer. It's the name of the train, and it's 1,001 cars long. And the premise is, like, all the whole world, what's left of the world in this sci-fi future, now lives on this train. And it never stops. It goes around and around and around all over the world. And what I just repeated is also the same premise for the TV show. The TV show, now that I'm going to go into it, it stars Jennifer Connelly and David Diggs as like the main leads. And then like the supporting roles include Mickey Sumner, Annalise Bazo, Allison Wright. There are a few other notable characters, but for the sake of spoilers, I won't mention them. But it's a good show. It is bingeable in the sense that, like, there's just so much drama going on, and the show is just about, the main theme is about class. Like, in the show, I'm not sure about the movie because I haven't seen the movie yet, but in the show, the train is split up by different classes. So there's first class, second class, and third class. And then there's people who got on the train without a ticket. And they end up in the very tail end of the train. And the life that they live is shit. Like, it's all cramped back there, and they're clearly the poorest of the four classes. Yeah. And David Diggs' character, he comes from the tail of the train. And Jennifer Connelly plays one of the employees of the train. So she's like, I think in hospitality is what they called it.
Some things never change, even in the post-apocalyptic world. Hospitality business.
it's a good drama. I thought it was very suspenseful. And I'm not sure. I think there might be a third season. Not sure yet, but I know for a fact there are two. Oh, and the show comes on TNT. And if you have access to Hulu, you can also watch it on Hulu. And I think I watched the first season on HBO Max. So if you just, like, type in where to watch Snowpiercer, like, Google will tell you where.
That is, I love that, because I love that concept of a train that always is going. And in a world, I dig the whole post-apocalyptic. I know it's maybe oversaturated, possibly people say, but I love it.
Isaac, would you like to talk about one of your shows?
Yes, because I will. I refuse to weigh in on Snowpiercer. I will. My first show on the list. If you like adult animation, you're gonna love this show. So if you like shows like Archer or Rick and Morty or like even Bob's Burgers or Family Guy, like if you like adult animation and you are familiar with some of the older Hanna-Barbera cartoons, you will absolutely love Venger Brothers. It started on air in I think 2004, and it was on. It was a current show up until 2018. So it was on the air for 14 years, but only has 7 seasons because it was on Adult Swim. They only do, like, the breaks between seasons are long.
A few years, right? It's like, oh, 3 years later.
Yeah. But it's an incredibly good show. It really, like, it really examines the idea of nostalgia and just so many good themes. It's incredibly good. It's made, created by Doc Hammer and Jackson Publick. And they actually do a lot of the voices in a similar vein to South Park. Except in South Park, Trey Parker and Matt Stone end up doing almost all of the voices. In this show, the creators are doing a fair number, but not all of them and not all of the main cast. And you can find it on Hulu and HBO Max. So if you have either one of those services, that's where it's at. And it's, even though it was just recently canceled while they were trying to get out season 8, Cartoon Network has announced, or at least the Cartoon Network announced that there was going to be a series of specials for some older shows. And one of the main voice actors for this show, the person that voices Rusty Venger, who is James Urbanak, posted on, I think it was Twitter, that he was recording his voices for a special for Venture Brothers that's going to release, I don't know, probably in the next 2 years, which is going to essentially wrap up the series. So fans will get closure. So if you start it, you don't have to worry about, oh no, they didn't finish. They're going to finish. So you'll get that. One other notable person on the show is Patrick Warburton. He plays Rusty's bodyguard. You may know him from
lots of things. Patrick Warburton, like he has a distinctive voice. So if you know who he is, like you know who he is.
You'll pick up the voice in other. You'll pick up the voice.
And you might have heard his voice before, but just didn't know who he was.
Yeah. Like, if you've seen News Radio, he was in that. I think he was on several episodes of Friends. He's also in Family Guy as the guy in the wheelchair whose name escapes me right now. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So he's around. You've definitely heard him. He's been in this show for a while. I think this one is really good, and I think we could have covered it, but I could never convince Chinlin to watch it, so.
It's not, despite everything you said, because I do like animated shows, American and Japanese, but I don't like the art style.
That's half the battle sometimes with shows, yep.
Yeah, if you don't care about art style in an animated show, totally try out Venture Brothers.
Oh, and one thing that we normally do for our shows is talk about when it gets good. If you watch the first episode, it's interesting enough, but the art style is more rough than in later episodes. If you pick up sort of in the middle of season 1, you're not going to miss a whole lot, and the episodes really start to string together as a more serialized story from that point.
I like that they're continuing it with movies, because that is half the battle with a series. You could love and then it just never ends and you kind of get it's left open. So the fact that they're doing that, that makes it even more bingeable, because right now there's an ending coming.
Yeah, there will be an ending. So if you binge it, you'll be like, oh, what's going to happen? And there will be some satisfaction.
Ooh.
All right, Ryan, back to you.
Should I have said that Buffy's on Hulu, by the way, for everybody? It's on Hulu streaming and stars Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah, I mean,
and it gets good in important. Season two.
There you go. That's really good. Important.
That's true, right? Like, now that you mentioned that, yeah, like, the first season can always be shaky on a show, so. All right. So, this one's relatively new, and I like that it was only 10 episodes, so truly bingeable in the sense that they're about 26 minutes only, so you could totally binge this, dare I say, in a day and a half? Depending on how bingeable you want things. This is Hulu, again's Only Murders in a Building.
Oh, oh hey, yeah. We watched that one, yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, we couldn't binge it. Like, we had to watch it weekly.
Yeah, we had to wait for it to finish, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was one of those fools, too, waiting every week. I should have waited for it to be over and binge it, but... So, I mean, this fits perfectly. Speaking of podcasters, I would say three unlikely podcasters come together when there is a murder in their New York City apartment. And it's basically they are true crime podcast fans and they all come together to solve a murder in their building. All-star cast, though. I mean, Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez.
Yeah, yeah. And don't forget, get cameo by Sting.
Oh my god. That is the best. That is the best. Yes, Sting is in this show as himself. So that alone.
Right? Yeah.
But so I'm so glad that you've both have seen this. So I think it's hysterical, but at the same time, you get this mystery that kind of, even though the layers are being peeled away, a new mystery will pop up or something else will be thrown into like a monkey wrench. So I would say if you're into crime comedy, I mean, there's a little bit of musical things in there too. It's a very different mix of things. I would say different subgenres put together, but mainly comedy.
Yeah, I would say mainly comedy. Maybe yeah. A little bit of dramedy.
I mean, that's why Steve Martin and Martin Short are in it, right? Like, it's supposed to be a comedy.
And they're perfect in their role. I mean, I gotta say, I love the three of these, of the three of them together. With Selena Gomez, this, let's just say maybe she's a little different, like, age-wise, and you know, and she brings this modern edge to their group, so I like right. That mix of everything.
Yeah, their characters' chemistries turned out really well, I thought.
So, and by the end of the season, you're like, wow, okay, I really like these people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Next on my list that I would like to recommend. So this is a French comedy series on Netflix, because Netflix is really good about like making international shows as well.
Thankfully.
So I'm actually of my list, I'm gonna highlight two French comedies, but this first one is called Family Business, and I'm going to just start off by reading the summary from IMDb. Learning that cannabis will be legalized, Joseph, a failed entrepreneur, decides to transform, with the help of his family and friends, the kosher butcher shop of his father's and open the first marijuana coffee shop in the heart of Paris.
Ooh!
I'm laughing. I know the setting is Paris. IMDb says France, but I know it's Paris. but yeah, it's about a family who own this kosher butcher shop, and their shop isn't doing well. And Joseph, he's an entrepreneur, and he has ideas for apps and all that stuff. They don't go well, obviously. So when he realizes there's an opportunity available that can bring in the moolah, He is able to convince his family to like kind of get in on it, and then oh my god, the adventures they have, this shit is crazy. But yeah, I recommend it. I would say I'm trying to think if you're into family comedies and you don't mind reading French subtitles, I don't mind subtitles, period. Like, I prefer subtitles when I'm watching any show, even English-speaking shows. So if you don't mind subtitles and you're open to watching a French comedy, it's a... How many seasons was it? It was 3 seasons, and it's on Netflix, so you know they're short seasons.
Shorter seasons, right.
Yeah. Like, you get into the meat of it. There's no floof, filler episodes, all that. I would say give it a try. It's a nice family... It's a hilarious family comedy. Like, there's so many inappropriate things I learned.
I think the comedies that come out of other countries... Like, I'm a big fan of English comedies, too, because I feel like they're just so wacky.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I agree. Subtitles all the way. I used to watch Sailor Moon back on the day, like, trying to, like, read, like... You know, like in the 90s, like an old VHS tape with subtitles of the Japanese. So, subtitles, if I could get through that, old VHS tapes, I could read anything anymore. And I'm up for it.
I can't watch any anime without subtitles. Like, I can't do the English dub.
Oh, yeah, no, it's like they're...
Unless I grew up with the English dub, like Pokemon. Yes.
I agree.
One show... that I ever saw, one anime that I ever saw that, like, I've seen it subbed and dubbed, and the dub was actually good and serviceable as a substitute, and that was Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, Cowboy Bebop is so good.
Because they did not get Funimation to do the dubbing, oh. And so...
Thank you.
That's what made the difference. The people, like, the people doing the voices in that dub were really good. And I watched it dubbed after I'd seen it subbed, like, way back in 2003. So this isn't like, oh, this is a new thing on Netflix. Like, no, like, way back then,
right,
I was like,
exactly,
oh, hey,
yes.
this is people good.
People think this is a new thing with the new Netflix Cowboy Bebop. I'm like, no.
No. No. It's been a while.
All right, Isaac, would you like to talk about another one of your shows?
Yeah, so that my next show is actually the show that I thought of when Chin Lin first pitched me the idea for this podcast, which in retrospect, I'm glad we did not do, but is still an excellent show. And that show is The West Wing. It's written and created by Aaron Sorkin. It's a political drama about... a new president that got elected in the year, I want to say 1998, because it was like 2 years before the actual election. And so they were off from reality by about 2 years. Anyway, it's incredibly well written.
It's an Aaron Sorkin show, and yeah. He loves Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah, you'll see 2 more shows from him on my list. It's got 7 seasons, and it is currently on HBO Max. And if you want a podcast about it, there is somebody who's doing an excellent one. It's called West Wing Weekly, and they've been doing one episode a week for a while now. I actually think they may have finished very recently. And they've done, yeah, which is why I'm glad we didn't cover the show, because they've done it so much better. They were actually able to get, like, actors and other, like, real politicians on the show. Like,
holy crap.
Yeah.
I mean, they were legit.
Yeah.
We're an indie podcast. There's a huge difference.
We're the next Only Murders in the Building. We're going to take off. All of us.
Yeah, so they cover, like, real world, you know, issues, and it's just incredibly, incredibly good. It's well acted. It's got Martin Sheen as the president. It's got Bradley Whitford as the deputy chief of staff. And
I just want to say, Bradley Whitford is cute. He looked a little nerdy in the show, but now he is a sexy fox.
That always helps, let me tell you.
He's now in The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu with Elizabeth Moss, who was also in West Wing.
Yep, she plays the daughter of the president, or the youngest daughter of the president. It's also, if you're looking for handsome men, it's also got Rob Lowe.
Oh, the ageless Rob Lowe. He's still 30-something, right? He's never ages.
Yeah, he was definitely 20-something in this show, for sure. And then it's also got John Spencer as the chief of staff. It's a great cast. The issues that they bring up are excellent, and it's so good.
Would you recommend it for people who are into political dramas?
Yeah, so if you like dramas, if you like the idea of politics at all, if you haven't watched this show, you'll definitely want to. If you're not necessarily into politics, it's still a really good show and can be sort of, you know, an easy way into understanding like different issues that come up in politics.
Beautiful. And a classic show.
Oh, yeah. There's a reason it was on for 7 seasons on a major network, right? It's not like it was 7 seasons on the WB. It was 7 seasons on NBC. Like
Buffy. That's a big burn. How
to
dare
Buffy
you?
And Charmed. The communities, both communities.
It's no secret about Isaac's feelings of Charmed.
Yeah. No, I'll hate on that show all day long.
But you know what? I think that's fun, like when you know that your partner like can have a laugh over something that you really love. But well, I'll say it like that way. I'm lucky. Mine likes Charm, so I won't say nothing. But it's, I bet you it's fun banter, right? Like there is ridiculous things that happen on Charm that even I'm like, okay.
Yeah, you're like, really?
Okay. Well, just say okay.
All right, Ryan, what's your next pick?
Okay, I feel like I should turn it to an animated thing as well. This is, while there is two recently on Netflix, I'm going with He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, which is a new CGI series aimed at kids. So not me, but yes, I am watching this right now. yes, there is currently two on. There's one that was a continuation of the 80s He-Man Masters of the Universe, which was made by Kevin James. But this is a reboot for modern day kids. And I have to say, already it is so cool because back in the day, I don't know if anyone's heard, He-Man is always saying he has the power. Mm-hmm. Now everybody has the power. He has a group of he always had a group of people, but now they all kind of transform. So each person gets to enhance themselves with power. Very inclusive with characters. So this is described as Prince Adam, who has amnesia, has been separated from his father, who is the king of Eternia, by his evil uncle Keldor. And then he is later raised by a tiger tribe with his best friend, who becomes Battle Cat for the original He-Man fan. So totally rebooted this, almost similar to the She-Ra series that they had on, which I think might have been talked about one time on this show, the Netflix show.
We covered it last year with a guest.
I thought so. I was like, I remember that episode.
Yeah, I liked She-Ra. Yeah, and I had never watched She-Ra or He-Man back in the day either. So the universe of the universe of that show, the whole canon, was completely new to me.
And they kind of, I will say, even in this one, everything in that She-Ra one, everything is rebooted to the beginning. So anyone can come on at this point, and I say join in on the fun. So I really see this. They're saying a lot of positive messages for kids to empower them. So I hope this goes on strong. It's 10 episodes now. I watched this whole series in a day.
Nice.
It did go very quickly, though. 26 minutes, kind of like a movie. They all continue into the story. And honestly, it takes the whole 10 episodes to basically get to the what it's probably going to become. So if you got the time, okay. 10 episodes. So
it's a pretty big, it's a 10 episode buildup.
It's a 10 episode buildup exactly to, I think, what the next, like the battle will become. So did you get picked up, P-Man? I hope. I'm telling you, there are more people out there to watch you, but right now, very good.
Alrighty. So for my next pick, this is another French comedy, although I will say I might label it more as dramedy series because it is an hour long. They are hour long episodes. So this show is, the English title is called Call My Agent. This is on Netflix. And the French title is 10%, which means 10%. So that, it's a weird title. I'm glad they changed it for
the
English.
Wow, yeah, that's completely different.
Yeah, yeah, because it actually, like, I guess it's more explicit what the show is about. It's about it's about the lives and jobs of the people working at a French talent agency. So these are agents who are trying to get jobs for their fellow actors and actresses, their clients. And I will say the original French title, 10%, it refers to the agent's commission.
Yeah.
So whatever job they book for their clients, they get 10% of what the actor or actress makes.
Okay. See, that makes sense.
Yeah. But I feel like for an English audience, like Call My Agent just sounds better to me.
I was already hooked when you said Call My Agent. Oh.
Yeah, love this show. Oh my god. I think I binged like 2 seasons and then 3 came out and I binged that and then 4 came out and I binged that.
Is it about 6 episodes too? Like that 6 episode like Netflix series? Like
Yes. I believe I actually have the page open right now on IMDb. It's 4 seasons. Yeah, 4 seasons, 6 episodes each. No fluff, and it's hilarious. There's plenty of drama to go around because not everyone at the workplace are friends. Like there's some people who have like various motives to do whatever. And this is not a spoiler because it happens in the first episode, but I won't mention it. But like something happens that kind of kicks off the rest of season 1.
Ooh, so you get a little something that changes it up a little.
Yeah, yeah, that happens at the agency. So like that's internally fun. at the workplace. And each episode is named after a famous French actor or actress who guest stars.
It's really fun.
Yeah, yeah. So I would say this is definitely geared for film geeks who are specifically into French films. I was first introduced to French films when I learned French in high school, middle school and high school. And, well, my French is rusty, but, I think some of the actors that I learned about in school, they actually, like, this show's big. They actually guest starred on this show. I think one of them was Jean Dujardin. He was in The Artist.
Yes!
And that won an Oscar. It was that black and white movie.
So you got credibility. They have credible French actors on this show.
Yeah, it's a great French dramedy series, short seasons. What was I going to say? Right. So it is so popular. Netflix made Call My Agent Bollywood, which actually dropped recently. I don't know if it dropped this month or last month, but it came out this year. Like, and they're in the middle of making a UK version of Call My Agent.
Is this like the Housewives? They kind of like, they could do like Housewives of Ukraine, Housewives of Atlanta, like every kind of housewife, like Housewives of Russia.
I don't know, but like, I love this show. It has a warm place in my heart. I'm just going to list off some of the actors really quick because I really enjoyed their performances. The main actors are Camille Cotin, Gregory Montel, I totally butchered that, Fanny Sidney, Nicolas Maury, Liliane Rovere. Those are just some of the main actors in the show. But hey, it's good enough that Netflix is making versions of the show for different countries. Yeah. And the fact that they're in the middle of making a UK one, which I'm sure will be popular for UK and American audiences.
Hysterical. I bet you.
They can like take advantage of like cross-country agency relations for that show. Because so many actors from the UK come to the US to work, some from the US go to the UK to work, yada yada. So I'm definitely looking forward to that one. I did add the Bollywood one to my watch list. I haven't watched it yet, though.
So it's actually out already. Wow.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Okay.
All right. So I'm going to be a little unorthodox here. I've got like 10 shows on my list, so I'm going to do two. So the next two I want to talk about are Stargate SG-1 and Stargate Atlantis.
Oh, yes.
If you are a fan of Star Trek The Next Generation's format, which is sort of episodic but with some overarching storylines and, you know, exploration, these two shows are excellent. Stargate SG-1 was the first show. There was a movie back in the, I think, 90s. Called Stargate, starring, I forget, Kurt Russell. His role is reprised by Richard Dean Anderson of MacGyver fame.
Yeah.
So he leads a team of four people. The other three are Michael Shanks, Amanda Tapping, and Christopher Judge. And they essentially go through the Stargate exploring worlds for 10 seasons. It's amazing. They're not like the most tightly written show in the world, but it's still really good. Like I said, if you're a fan of Star Trek The Next Generation, you'll most likely like this. And it's currently on Netflix. Stargate Atlantis is a spin-off of Stargate SG-1. Which I think in season 5 is when they spun it off. I think that sounds right. And it went 5 seasons. It stars Joe Flanagan, David Hewitt, Jason Momoa of Atlantis and Game of Thrones fame, and Tori Higginson. It's also got...
Did you mean Aquaman?
Yeah, I was going to say Aquaman, yeah.
What did I say?
You said Atlantis again.
Oh, sorry. Yes, Aquaman.
Close.
Aquaman is from Atlantis.
That's right.
And it's also got Jewel State from
Firefly
in it. She doesn't show up for a few seasons, though. So if you're looking for her specifically, you're going to have to wait. But Stargate Atlantis is not on Netflix. It is on Hulu. So if you want to watch both shows, you're going to need both services. And Stargate Atlantis has 5 seasons. But yeah, Stargate Atlantis, like I said, is a spinoff. It actually takes place in a separate galaxy. They find a Stargate that takes them much further than the normal Stargate. And so they send a team that's sort of stranded there. And yeah, it's a good time. There's, you know, aliens and all sorts of stuff. It's Star Trek, but not Star Trek. I don't know how else to sell it.
Classic sci-fi.
Yeah.
Just sci-fi action.
Yeah. But again, sort of Star Trek The Next Generation vibes. Like, you know, we're trying not to interfere necessarily with peoples that are less technologically advanced than us, and we're trying to get technology from civilizations that are more advanced than us. Like, so it's, you know, it's what you expect. Sci-fi show. Sometimes it's a mystery, sometimes not. Michael Shanks, I think, won an Emmy for one of the episodes where he ends up having to play like several characters at once. And the guy that plays Teal, Christopher Judge, I think his acting is amazing because, I mean, you wouldn't notice that he's acting because he's always in character on this show. But it's like Brent Spiner on Star Trek The Next Generation. He plays like a very like emotionless type character like all the time. And if you see him in real life, you're like, oh wow, you really had to work hard to play that character. So those are the two shows.
Great movie and shows as well. I love those shows.
Yeah, it helps if you've seen the movie, which is basically they, you know, discover a Stargate that takes you to another planet, and then they end up, you know, having to fight the evil alien ruler that's on that planet. And then the show picks up from there. The show, I should say, Stargate SG-1, for the first episode has nudity. After that, they decided that they wanted to be able to shoot it and show it in syndication on network TV, so they dropped all the really adult stuff.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, back to you.
Okay. So not to be typecast as a vampire person, because I just realized that... Well, here I go. This is on Tubi, so this is actually a free subscription site if you need.
Oh, nice.
If you're doing the Hulu, the HBO Max, and the Netflix, and you need a little extra, you know, little streaming services, that's free, Tubi. So this is a 1991 remake of the gothic soap opera Dark Shadows from the 60s. Also might be known by the Tim Burton movie that was also a reboot a few years ago, called Dark Shadows. But I always say that that has nothing to do with what really Dark Shadows is about. It's Dark Shadows in Tim Burton's version of it, I would say. He definitely puts a Tim Burton skew on his lens there. So it is what it is. But So Dark Shadows was a soap opera that ran in the 60s from 66 to 71. It was just about ghosts, and then they brought a vampire on to save the show that was canceled, and then the show went on forever. Witches, ghosts, vampires, werewolves, all the classic tropes. But in 1990, they made a 12-episode, like a mini condensed of the series. So in 12 episodes, you basically get the whole plot of the first few seasons of Dark Shadows into one. If you're into gothic-esque, like dark, moody old houses and shadows and smoke and all the, I mean, if you're into that like kind of mood, Dark Shadows, 1991, sometimes referred to as Dark Shadows, the revival. And it's just summed up as a young governess named Victoria Winters comes to Collinwood, and a vampire named Barnabas Collins is released from his coffin. Look at that, the same day, bad luck. And he falls in love with the young woman.
All right. Would it be fans for people who watch Scooby-Doo as a child?
Oh, well, I was a Scoobies fan, so maybe that makes sense. I would say if you're into romance, but honestly at the same time of like brooding and darkness, like a dark romance of like a candlelit, so like, oh my God, you're my love that I knew for centuries. Like that kind of esque thing with some vampires and like witches thrown in.
Gotcha.
That sounds like Chen Lin's kind of a good time
there. Ooh, 12 episodes, Chen Lin.
All right, so next on my list is a show that is fairly recent, and we actually just finished watching season 2, but I'm mostly just going to give the premise on season 1 because between the two, I preferred season 1, and it's technically an anthology series, so it's a different story for season 2 anyways.
Perfect.
So this is on another streaming platform, Paramount Plus. It used to be CBS All Access, and I'm actually glad they changed the name because Paramount Plus sounds way better.
It does.
The show is called Why Women Kill. And like I said, it's an anthology series. So the summary for the first season is you follow the story of three women in different decades. So there's one woman in the 60s, one in the 80s, and one in 2019, because that's when this show premiered, 2019. And it
also allows them to not have to include anything about the pandemic, so it makes it easier to tell the story.
That's true.
They probably recorded before the pandemic.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
So it's about these three women in different decades, and they all live in the same house. It's like this fancy, giant, like, mansion house in SoCal.
Beverly Hills, I think it was.
Pasadena?
No, yeah, it was Pasadena. Yeah.
Pasadena. It all takes place in Pasadena in this big house. And they all deal with similar issues. Infidelity, betrayals in their marriage, friendships, blah, blah, blah. Very bingeable. Some of the noteworthy actors in season one include Lucy Liu.
I love Lucy Liu.
Jennifer Goodwin, Jack Davenport.
Of coupling fame and Pirates of the Caribbean.
And Kirby Howell Baptiste. She was a guest star. She played a guest starring role in The Good Place, if anyone's watched The Good Place, because we covered it a while back. But yeah, it's I recommend the show. It's like, it's mystery, it's suspenseful, it's fun. It's not all serious all the time.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good.
Do they cut between the three women over in the same episode? Like, let's say that generation, then this generation?
Yep.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and it really keeps you guessing, because the show's called Why Women Kill. So, like, you already know who does the killing.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, like, okay, well, does she kill this guy, or is it that guy? Ooh. Or no, wait, maybe she doesn't kill a guy.
Yeah, yeah,
maybe she kills a woman.
I was like, maybe it's not her, maybe it's another woman in this storyline. Like,
It really keeps you on your feet, at the edge of your seats, I mean.
Yeah. Because you're like, because it's why women kill. It's like, you know, a woman is going to murder someone in this timeline,
but who?
Who and why? It's interesting.
I know what I'm in. That sounds very good. I'm hooked. I'm writing it down. I'm adding it to the list. That sounds very good. That's why this show is what it is.
Yeah.
Bingeable.
Oh, does that mean it's my turn now?
Yes, it is.
Okay, great. So I'm going to do another two shows. And this time I'm going to talk about the other two Aaron Sorkin shows on my list. The first is The Newsroom, which came out on HBO in 2010. It's about a fictional newsroom that is a national news broadcast. And the idea is that they would cover news from like actual news like that happened in real life on this show just a few months later, right, as a drama. But again, in a similar vein to The West Wing, they're exploring different social issues and that kind of stuff. There was there's an episode in the first season that has to do with the Occupy movement and how news outlets like cover it or don't decide not to cover it, and sort of whether or not the news outlet should care about ratings or whether they should care about telling the truth. And it's really good. Jeff Daniels is the main character. It's also got Emily Mortensen and Sam Watterson from Law and Order.
Emily Mortimer.
Mortimer, sorry.
No. I saw her in the Pink Panther movie with Steve Martin. She was cute in that.
Yes! Oh, yes! Forgot all about that movie.
So, since this show originally aired on HBO, it's on HBO Max, and that's where you can find it. It's incredibly good. It's got three seasons. Aaron Sorkin was a little sad when he only got a third season, but he's like, they can't all be The West Wing. So, That's just how life is. He's like, that's probably my last TV show episode ever, and it's sad, but, you know. I mean, he's written movies since then. So
like, was it? Question mark?
Yeah, yeah. It actually has been. He has not written any other TV shows. And then the other TV show, which I think of the three shows, Aaron Sorkin shows that I have on this list, I think this one is my favorite. It's called Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. It aired in 2006, right before the writer's strike.
This is right after Friends ended.
God, and these years, my God, we're so old.
Yeah. And it came out the same season as 30 Rock, which was sort of what the issue was for NBC. They had 30 Rock, which was a show about a variety show, and they had Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, which was a drama about a variety show. And it's got Matthew Perry and, again, Bradley Whitford. Amanda Peet is also in it, along with Sarah Paulson. And my favorite time I've seen D.L. Hughley on TV is in this show. It's incredibly well written. The drama and the comedy, like, it's a drama and comedy mix, right? Because it's a drama show about a comedy. So all the people are funny when they're, you know, making their points or whatever. It's very good. As far as they know, like, Saturday Night Live exists. So it's a Saturday Night Live show. Except it's called Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, and instead of being in New York, it's in Los Angeles. Lorne Michaels still exists, because in the first episode, one of them's like, I want Lorne's office. And he's like, well, that one's 3,000 miles away, so you can't have it. And he's not dead. It's a great show. It's only one season. You cannot get it anywhere for free with your subscription. Anywhere you can find Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, it is $2 to, I guess, rent or something, or hopefully buy. I don't know. Sorry, I got it long time ago in the before times, through unscrupulous means, so I have no idea how you'd get it now.
I remember those days.
Right? But it's an excellent show. Like I said, well written, well acted. The second episode is probably my favorite because it has a musical in it, like a musical number. It's so funny and well written. I could go on and on about this show. It's only 24 episodes for that one season, I think. But it's also got John Goodman for a couple of episodes. So, yeah. Like, if you haven't seen it, you should watch it. It's good. You won't regret it. All right, that's my entry for this spot in the turntable.
I'm sold. I remember that show being on air and never watching it. So, wow.
I can't believe it was only a season. It was me.
It was me.
God,
and the writers.
You had watched it.
I blame me too. All right, so my final bingeable show. Now, this one I feel is very lighthearted. Please forgive me out there. This is 2021's Disney Plus, Turner and Hooch. So,
oh, okay.
This stars Josh Peck of Nickelodeon fame. He's all grown up now, and he is playing the title character. So evidently, I thought it was a reboot, but this is actually a continuation of the Tom Hanks movie.
Of the movie?
Yes. Okay. Yes. It's actually, as I was watching it, I'm like, wait, they're giving clues. The father had a dog. He was a policeman. All right. This is in the same universe then. So, basically same plot. A U.S. Marshal inherits a drooling junkyard dog and soon realizes that the pet he didn't want, it's the partner he needs. So,
nice.
Think about basically, in the words of Rob on the Charmed podcast, he always says shenanigans. Picture, how do we get the dog to be adorable, cute, and solve a mystery at the end of each episode? So, Scooby-Doo, Chin-Lin, speaking of Scooby-Doo.
Or Wishbone?
Or Wishbone. Yes, Wishbone.
Crime solving of dogs, basically. But I will say it is 12 episodes. It did not get picked up for a second season, but everything is contained in the 12 episodes. An overarching plot, but each episode is standalone as well. Nice. So you could definitely just watch one episode if you want to see a dog causing mischief for a little while drooling but looking adorable and then still solving a mystery. So you can't go wrong, right? Animals. Josh Peck.
Hey, look, I like it. You sold me. I think I will take a look at it. It's normally tough for me to suspend disbelief, but like,
you may have to suspend a lot. You might have to suspend a lot.
If your show like is like, hey, look, we're just a goofy show, like, from the beginning, I'm like, oh, okay, well, then I'm not going to pay attention to all the weird inconsistencies you have.
Exactly. Yeah. I think you're summing it up right. It lives in that universe of, oh, this is going to be some goofy stuff.
Right.
Alrighty. So I don't have, there's so many bingeable shows out there. I stopped my list at Why Women Kill. But while you guys were talking, I did think of another one that I really liked. This one, unfortunately, did not get picked up for a second season. But I guess that's okay, because the first season was pretty well written and contained itself. I think it could have gotten a second season because it's based on a young adult novel. And this novel is actually part of a trilogy. But, I mean, just the one season we got, I'm pretty happy with. And because we are recording in December and it's almost Christmas.
Yes, it is.
This is for the people who like watching Christmas movies. Christmas romance movies, to be specific.
I'm a sucker.
The show was on Netflix last year. It's called Dash and Lily. It's about two teenagers living in the heart of New York City.
Teenagers. Well, they're 25. Come on. Look at those actors.
Are they supposed to be teenagers?
They're supposed to be teenagers, and it's based on a young adult book. And young adult literature is, you know, the teen years. But yes, the actor who plays Dash, does look more like 25.
And I swear I saw him pour a scotch in the first episode or something. I was like, oh, these are 20-year-olds. And she's like, no, that's a teenager. I was like, what?
Like, we're married. We have children. I'm on my second marriage. I don't even know.
Oh, man. So, it's from IMDb. The summary is, a whirlwind holiday romance builds as cynical Dash and optimistic Lily trade dares, dreams, and desires in a notebook they pass back and forth at locations all across New York City.
That sounds cute, actually.
It's pretty cute.
It's a really cute romance, and the fact that it takes place around Christmas time makes it even better, I feel like.
There you go. You sold me, right? Especially right now. Perfect to watch.
Yeah. It stars Midori Francis as Lily, Austin Abrams as Dash, and those are our main two actors. Some other notable actors are James Saito and I'm looking at IMDb and I don't see the person's name yet, but I would give it a chance, especially if you're in the mood for a Christmas romance. This one's a show, obviously, but I loved it. It was good. I binged it in a weekend, probably less than 48 hours, and I was happy to rewatch it after.
Ooh, another one from my list.
All right, so my next two shows are both dramas, high dramas. Both came from HBO originally. The first one is The Wire. It is a show about a group of police officers in Baltimore trying to uncover a drug cartel. And it starts off with a murder. in one of the project or near one of the projects in Baltimore, and it sort of just builds from there. Notable actors, it's got Idris Elba in it. He plays Stringer Bell, and I think this is probably the first time Idris Elba is like I think this is where he got his break. In fact, a lot of actors got their break here. Now, part of that is because the creators of The Wire actually decided to hire as many local people from Baltimore as they could as they shot in Baltimore. It's a really great TV show, but you might end up feeling guilty for like how like you're like, oh wow, this is really well done, but this is really terrible that this is the reality for people living in Baltimore. Like, this isn't like it's based on real life, so like this isn't like it is a drama. It is fiction, but it is it can be rough. I will say season one is excellent. Season two is kind of meh. Season three is also really good. And seasons four and five sort of wrap up the series. But I think seasons one and three are probably the strongest. And like I said, that's on HBO Max. It also, the main stars are Dominic West and Sonia Son. They're the two main police officers. I think they're both detectives.
When did this come out?
I think this was 2003.
Okay, so wow. before the iPhone.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. Well before the iPhone. In fact, the in the first season, the police are having to deal with like they're using like typewriters and shit and like not computers, because that's how like technologically disadvantaged the police were at the time. Like even in the early 2000s, like they didn't have computers for this department. And a lot of the hijinks and stuff happen over payphones, which like,
wow. Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah. What so like kids of today would be like, well, this is weird. Why are people, what's a payphone?
What is that booth?
Yeah. What are they, why are they standing around this box? Yeah. So that's a really wonderful show.
It sounds more rough than wonderful.
Well, it's wonderfully written and acted. Yeah, it's
not a show if you're looking to escape.
Yeah, if you're looking for a pick me up, don't watch it. But if you just want like a good show,
a good drama,
yeah, it's great.
Yeah, acting, yeah, like story,
yeah. These two shows, both The Wire and the next one I'm going to talk about, Band of Brothers. If you were a fan of Chernobyl when we covered Chernobyl, you would like these two shows as well. They're both in the same high drama or, I don't know, quality drama realm. Band of Brothers is about Easy Company in World War II. And it follows them from their basic training in, I think, Virginia over into England, and then finally into the theater in Europe. And it's actually based on a book by the sort of main character here, which is I think he ends up being Captain Winters. I can't remember. He starts as, I think, Lieutenant Winters. I'm not really sure, but it's got Damian Lewis playing Winters, and it's got a lot of young men that you would recognize later on. Neil McDonough, Ron Livingston. It's also got David Schwimmer in, I think, a role where David Schwimmer actually acted.
Yes.
And he plays a character that you would hate, and he sells it well. Like, you hate his character. And so I feel like he did a really good job there. It's amazing. They pepper it in with pepper it in with interviews from the actual people that the story is about. So you get interviews with Winters and some of the other guys that were in Easy Company, and they talk about their experience from that episode.
Wait, you said this took place during a war?
World War II, yeah.
Oh, I watched you watch this.
You did watch me watch part of this, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you kind of like come in and your partner, husband, wife is watching something, you're like, what is this? Huh? Okay. And then you kind of just like see parts of the shows. You get like an idea of what it's like, about.
Like sometimes I'll walk in on him watching something and I'm like, okay, whatever. Because, you know, if I'm not paying attention, like, I have no investment in it. And it doesn't really, I don't really care about it. For this one, I was like, oh.
Oh. But then, yeah,
he plays a bad guy. And he plays a really good bad guy.
Yeah.
So there you go, the acting. He's acting.
Yeah. He's actually acting. Look at him. All right. Ryan, did you have another show?
You know,
I've got two more.
I was going to say, for lack of anything, I'll say a little show called Charmed. You might have never heard of it.
He came up with more than what I told him.
You know what, though? It's always good. Always over. I like that. Prepared.
Look, she was like, find some shows that you want to add for this episode. I'm like, all right, well, I'll find all the shows that I would have wanted to do. And here
we go.
You know
what? I'm giving you my next show.
Okay. Well, I'll just go ahead and do my final two. My final two are shows where I don't actually think you should binge the whole show. One is an anime called Bleach. It's about a 15-year-old boy that becomes a soul reaper or shinigami.
Shinigami.
Through actions that happened in episode one, it really picks up after episode six. Once they've got all the characters introduced, it's an incredible ride from episode 15 to episode 63. You will not want to stop watching. And after 63, don't bother.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, back in the day, animes, those episodes just kept going and going.
I know, you're like, amen, Sailor Moon. I'd be like, oh, we're up to 66. Keep going, season one, series one, or whatever.
So the issue with Bleach is that it's based on a manga, obviously, and then they caught up to where the manga was, or very close to where it was at episode 63. They finished a story arc, right? So then they had to start filler episodes till the manga built up enough time, and then came back, they had to include all the characters that they'd introduced in the filler arc, and then. Then the manga also went off the rails, and so, like, I don't know.
They started including, like, television characters. Like, oh, wait, we don't know what to do anymore.
I'm like, yeah, don't bother watching after episode 63. It's really good. And then in a similar vein, there's the show Heroes from 2006.
Yes.
The first season is amazing.
Amazing, yes.
Just amazing. Unfortunately, the lead writer left after season one. Yep. And in the middle of season two, there was a writer's strike. And so whatever momentum they had even kind of built for season two, like, it went insanely crazy for the second half. And then seasons three and four, like, four started to get kind of good again, because I think the lead writer came back after writing Pushing Daisies, but he had to deal with all the crazy stuff that they had put in the interim seasons, and so it was still sort of a mess. But the first season of Heroes is absolutely amazing.
So good.
It's got Zachary Quinto and
I thought it was pronounced Quinto.
Quinto? I don't know.
I don't know.
Actually, we always said Quinto, so
I think that's
knows?
How I remember saying it too, but I say everyone's right. name wrong, so.
So you can actually find Bleach on Netflix, and Heroes is on Peacock.
Ooh.
If you want to check those out.
Which Charmed is currently
available?
Streaming.
Yeah.
Also, for Bleach, don't watch the live-action version. I don't know what that is. Don't just... Just go for the anime.
No, the live and just the first versions.
Look, that show was incredibly popular. It spawned like lots of video games and things, but you know, which, you know, obviously makes Netflix go, hey, let's make a live action version. I'm like, oh, stop it.
Oh, no.
Don't make live action versions of anime. It doesn't work out.
Dragon Ball Z.
Why?
That movie. Oh my god. I'm whispering also, because I don't want to ever hear the name brought up again. It's like Dragon Ball movie. I'm afraid if I say it, it will come.
And the Avatar The Last Airbender movie that never happened, shouldn't exist, doesn't exist.
It doesn't. I agree. Nothing.
Doesn't exist. That show was amazing. There's no reason.
I always say the source material, you have fantastic source material. I don't know where things get like off the radar.
I don't know.
All right. Well, this wraps up our final episode of the Bingeables podcast. Thank you again, Ryan, for joining us for this fun, fantastic discussion. I'm definitely interested in Turner and Hooch. I never watched the Tom Hanks movie. I love Tom Hanks. I loved him in You've Got Mail.
That's a great movie.
Oh my god! But I mean, anything with dogs, I'll watch.
Right, and you don't have to know the movie, so that also helps.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for. I am like I said, honored that this turned out to be your final episode. For now, I'll put it out. For now,
We'll see. We'll see what the future holds. I really don't know. Who knows? Maybe I'll be itching to be back here after a year.
To be continued. Keep a lookout where a podcast you enjoy your podcast, an episode might pop up. But this was an honor. I had so much fun and a lot of recommendations as well. I am putting them on the list for sure. Especially Why Women Kill.
I'm hoping the people who listened to this episode, I'm hoping they're not just like in the car. I'm hoping they're like at home, something to write down. It's like, oh, what was that show called again? Oh, let me type it on my phone.
No, I hope they are in the car because then they'll come back and listen again.
Oh, yes.
That's true. Got a double dip on that listen.
That's true. Especially this final special episode. You got to play this twice.
All righty. Well, for the foreseeable future, there isn't going to be an until next time, because that's usually how I end the episodes. But this is a goodbye for now, folks. And we really appreciate y'all listening.
And thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Bingeables podcast.
Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please consider giving us your support on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. Just visit us on patreon.com/bingeablespod. That's patreon.com/bingeablespod.
You can connect with us on Twitter at BingeablesPod, or you can email us at BingeablesPod@gmail.com.
Until next time. And the music you're listening to is Shaving Mirror by Kevin MacLeod.